Now let's continue on this Day of Atonement. And the theme of this is how we need to stay close to God and be on guard against all the wiles of the devil, because he is there working. He is the God of this world, and he's deceiving the whole world. Now, let's come to John, the 8th chapter. Let's see exactly how he worked during the days of Jesus. But what happened? It had to take place over a period of time that what God had given to the Jews became Judaism, a false religion, yet thinking it was true because of what they did. So here in John the 8th chapter, very important chapter for us. Now, this is quite a thing. Okay? Let's begin here in verse 20. Verse 20. Jesus spoke these words in the treasury while teaching in the temple, but no one had arrested him because his time had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I'm going away, and you shall seek me, but you shall die in your sins. Wages of sin is death. Who is the author of death? Satan, the devil. Where I am going, you're not able to come. You don't have any power to go where I'm going. Where was he going? To heaven, right? To be with the Father, correct? How about that? The Bible says no one has any power to go to heaven. What do you know about that? So they said, will he kill himself? He said, you're not able to come. He said to them, now listen to this. This is important. Verse 23, he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. That's why in his final prayer, Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the wicked one or the evil one, because they are not of the world exactly as I am not of the world. So what's one of the first steps that people take? Go out of the church, and that is go back to the world a little bit, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And voila, lo and behold, you come up with one man who used to be a minister in WCG, who is now a Lutheran minister. Voila! Is Satan at work? Yes, indeed. Verse 24, that is why I said that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, and when he said I am, ego eimi, that's the name of God you find back in the book of Exodus, right? So when he said, if you don't believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. Who? Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, the one that I said to you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I have heard from him. These things I speak to the world. But they didn't know that he was speaking to them of the Father, because they didn't know. No one knows the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son reveals him to. See? Then Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourself shall know that I am. And I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. Key thing right here. The things that we do in our lives, motivated from the Spirit of God, is going to lead us to do the things that please God, not please the world, not please the self. That's the whole purpose of atonement and fasting and praying, that we realize that we, in God, we live and move and have our being, and there's nothing we have on our own. And that's an important thing to really keep in mind all the time, lest we get lifted up. Because what is one of the first things that people start doing to lay themselves open to become victimized by Satan, the devil? They start leaning to their own understanding. And they start doing the things that are not right, but justify it. And that is the first step. And Satan is there to say, well, I'm here to help you. That's right. So Jesus went on to tell him, and then I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, these things I speak. True for every minister. You speak what the Bible says, and you speak it by the correct biblical interpretation, and not by your own thoughts, and not by your own understanding, and not by anything that comes from you. It must come from God and His Spirit. Now notice, because this is so instructive for the Day of Atonement, and as he spoke these things, many believed in him. But how did they believe? With all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their being? No. They believed in him with what he said. Now he's going to give them more instruction and see if they really believe, because he is from above and they are from beneath. And that is with Satan the devil, as we will see. Therefore, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if, conditional, if, 1700 in the Bible, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. See, it's not enough to believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's not enough to understand that he's the Son of God. You must continue in his word. And that's his whole message. Then you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? Now that's really something, isn't it? That's how we stay free from Satan the devil. Staying with the Word of God. And God with his Spirit is writing it in our hearts and in our minds. So that's how we think, that's how we live, that's how we act. Because we are the disciples, the believers, the future sons and daughters of God. Now we are the children of God, as John wrote. Okay? So they answered and said, we're Abraham's seed. Oh, yes, if you got the right blood and the right genes, you got it made. And have never been in bondage to anyone, and yet Rome was ruling Judea. What do you mean by saying you shall become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a servant of sin, a slave of Satan, the devil. Ha! Huh. How's that for a lesson on the Day of Atonement? Absolutely true. And the servant does not live in the house forever, but the Son lives forever. Therefore, if the Son shall set you free, you shall truly be free. How are you set free from sin and Satan the devil? Repentance and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit and continuing in the Word of God and daily prayer and daily forgiveness and daily overcoming. See? That's how it is. Because God wants us to be at one with Him. Okay? Verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you're seeking to kill me because my words do not enter into your minds. I speak the things that I've seen from my Father, and you do the things that you have seen from your father, whose father was their father. Not Abraham, but we'll see in a minute, Satan, the devil. And that's what this Day of Atonement is all about, to know from the Word of God the difference between the truth of God and the right teachings of God and the right days to keep from God versus what the world does, what Satan teaches, and what they do, and they all think is great and glorious. Okay? Just like the Jews here. They thought, we're Abraham's seed, and we got it made. All right? Then they answered and said to him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children. Now notice the difference. He said, I know you're of the seed of Abraham, but you're not the children of Abraham. What's he referring to? Remember Ishmael? Yes. Yes, indeed. So he's saying, you know better than Ishmael. For if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What did Abraham do? Kept the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, and obeyed his charge and obeyed his voice. That's what Abraham did. Okay. Now you seek to kill me, a man who has spoken the truth to you, which I have heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Now notice verse 41. Here they were at the temple. Here they were having the bloodline of Abraham within them. True, 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 true. Christ was the Savior who came. But he's not going to come and amalgamate the world to himself. There must be the repentance and conversion and change. See? So notice what he says. Because they were of this world. But now notice what he says here. Verse 41. You are doing the works of your father. Then they said to him, we have not been born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Therefore, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, because I proceeded forth and came from God. I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Why? Don't you understand my speech? Because you're not able to hear or to bear to hear my word. Can't stand it. You are of your father, the devil. Now, think about this. Think about what we teach and preach and work up a real strong sermon, go to a Sunday-keeping church or a Catholic cathedral and preach it loud and clear, they will react exactly the same as these Jews did because they are of their father, the devil, and not of God. And how did the world become so twisted and perverted that is so? Because they refused the word of God, and God could not call them. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you desire to practice. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he is speaking from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. See? So that's why it's always important, the truth of God, the truth of God, the truth of the Sabbath, the holy days, and everything that God stands for. Which one of you can convict me of sin? But if I speak the truth, why don't you believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. You understand that? And that's what we have to do, and always take that in. For this reason, you do not hear because you are not of God. Right at the temple of God, right in Jerusalem, the people that were to receive the promise were rejecting it and they chose Satan, the devil, instead of God. And that's what the world has done. That's why the proper understanding of the sacrifice on atonement and why the sins were confessed over the live goat. The reason is because whenever Satan is around, there will always be lies and sin. Not just the sin from the law of sin and death because of human nature, but from Satan the devil. Okay? Now let's finish this because this is important. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Lowest thing you could be called by a Jew. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who works and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my words, he shall not see death forever." And they said, "Who do you think you are?" Okay? And that's the same reaction that you get in the world. Now, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians and see how these things develop. Quite a thing. 2 Corinthians. Okay? Even back then, let's come here to chapter 4, first of all. Chapter 4. Now, this is what every minister and elder needs to always keep in mind. Okay? This is absolutely important because how does a minister start going astray? By leaning to his own judgment, by leaning to his own understanding, by justifying in his mind that he could do better if he would only kind of modify something here and there. Look what happened to the church. Absolutely incredible. Beginning early in the 1970s. It took a time. It took time to do because it doesn't happen all at once. Because remember, Satan works incrementally. A little, a little, a little, and then bam. And then a little, a little, a little, a little, and bam. That's how he works. Okay? So let's pick it up here in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. "Therefore, having this ministry, according as we have received mercy, we are not faint-hearted, for we have personally renounced the hidden things, all hidden things, of dishonest gain, of lies, of twisting truth, everything like that, not walking in cunning craftiness." As we will see a little later, that's how Satan operates. Cunning craftiness. "Nor handling the word of God deceitfully." The only way you overcome Satan is with the truth, the truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth. Okay? "Handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, we are commending ourselves to every man's conscience before God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are perishing." Now notice what happened. The blinding comes. When you reach a certain point in this world, which is Satan's world, blinding comes. Notice. "In whom the God of this age or world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe." That's exactly what Jesus said back there in John 4. "Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sakes." Okay? "Because it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined into our hearts, who called us, who brought us, the Father draws us, Christ leads us, and that's how we live as Christians. Because God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shined into the hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Now, how do they do it? Even using the Bible. Now, remember what we read back in Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. Okay? They drop off a little here. They drop off a little there. They skim over a little here. They emphasize this. They emphasize that. They de-emphasize something else. What is that called? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17. For we are not like the many who for their own profit are corrupting the word of God, but we speak with sincerity as from God and before God and in God. See? What did Jesus say of himself? I of myself do nothing. Right? Yes. That's saying the same thing here. When you preach, now come to 2 Corinthians 11. This is amazing. And it comes about when people start listening to the subtle arguments of Sunday keepers because they haven't been studying themselves. And when the Sunday keeper comes along emphasizing certain things with twistings and distortings that sound blessedly true, bang. Okay? It happens. All right. Chapter 11, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. I would that you bear with me in a little nonsense. But indeed, do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband, that is Christ, so that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, cunning craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? What is the simplicity of Christ? Obey my voice. Believe in me. Live by every word of God. Now, it can't get any simpler than that. Indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, and that's what it is in the world, it's another Jesus, it's not the true Jesus, whom we did not preach, or you receive a different spirit, because a different spirit comes with it. A self-righteous do-goody spirit. Yes! We're do-gooders! We bring benefits! And look at what has happened. They're all going into Satanism. An amazing thing. You receive it. A different gospel. Oh, the Old Testament's been done away. A different gospel. Oh, that's the old law. A different gospel. You don't have to have works. A different gospel. You don't have to keep the commandments. A different gospel. You can come to church on Sunday. A different gospel. Right? Yes, indeed. What you did not accept, you put up with it as something good. Oh, well, they have some good points here. I remember a man told me one time, he says, well, I go to this Southern Baptist church here, used to be in Church of God, and they have a lot of good things. Really? Verse 5. But I consider myself in no way inferior to these highly exalted so-called apostles. These weren't the apostles of God. These were the apostles of Satan, the devil. Highly exalted so-called apostles. Okay. Now, let's turn the page and come over here. Come over here to... Okay. Verse 15, no, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, who are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Their own works, their own ministries, their own ideas, apart from God. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. I've come to bring you a benefit. I want you to know more that God hasn't told you. Now, these things were known long time ago. Guess what? And I will be able to tell you about them. Okay? Now notice, therefore it is no great thing if his servants also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't that amazing? How has that come about? Well, let's come to Revelation 2 and 3. Let's see something important here. Okay? Satan is mentioned as interfering in the churches of God through the prophecy of the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Okay? How does it all start? Losing your first love, the Ephesus church, church number 1. Then persecution takes place, church number 2, Smyrna. Then Satan comes along. Notice, okay? Persecution comes from the synagogue of Satan, verse 9, chapter 2. Satan is after the church, always. Okay? So I said, don't fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now then, what is the next church? Pergamos. Where were they? They were right where Satan's throne was in Pergamos. And the whole city there. And Pergamos had the throne of Zeus. Ooh! And they had wonderful things that they did. And they had a beautiful sacrifice of the mass called eating things sacrificed to idols. And they had the church organized in a hierarchy. Okay? All because they were right there where Satan's capital was. And then they did the things of Balaam and the Nicolaitans. Quite a thing. Whoo! Then what happens here? The next church, Thyatira. Jezebel! The full-fledged work of Satan the devil. Jezebel! And what happened to them? Boy, they really got in trouble. They followed all kinds of false things. Okay? Because Jezebel the prophetess caused it, chapter 2, verse 20, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space or time to repent of her fornication, but she did not repent. Notice what happened. Notice how this becomes so terrible here. I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works, and I will kill her children with death. Second death. All because of Satan the devil. And this is talking about a church of God. And they're all going to know that I am he who searches the reins and hearts and give to each one according to his works. Then he says, as many as have not known the depths of Satan, how bad did it get? I will lay no other burden upon you. Okay? Then the next church to come, Sardis, well, after that, yes. Hey, you run and hide, and there's not too much there. So they kept just the bare minimum. But even there, Christ says, you strengthened the few things that remain, and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. Wow. That's something. Now then, it doesn't mention Satan here in the account of the church at Sardis, but they were so low level that they didn't accomplish very much. Okay. Then the Church of Philadelphia, they're the ones who are confronted by the synagogue of Satan, who remain faithful because they keep the word of God, they keep the truth of God, they are not interested in riches and in numbers, but in truth and in righteousness, and the synagogue of Satan is not going to overcome them. Then we have the Church of the Laodiceans, that they give in. Okay, now, let's see, let's come here to Revelation 13. Okay, Revelation 13. We'll go back to Revelation 12 first, then we'll take on 13. Okay, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, who is deceiving the whole world. Listen, it's around us everywhere. We've got to be on guard. Peter says, resist the devil who comes as a roaring lion, but resist him steadfast in the faith. And the faith, that statement means not only belief in God and the power of God and the power of the Spirit of God, but in the teachings of God as well. And yes, Peter ought to know. Right? Yes, indeed. Called Satan and the devil who's deceiving the whole world, he was cast down to the earth and his angels were cast down with him. Isn't that something? Then, Satan is angry and goes to make war against those who are keeping the commandments of God. So the times and days ahead are going to be very difficult indeed. And so we've got to be strong, we've got to stay strong, we have to resist the devil, we have to resist the world, we have to resist everything that this world stands for. Okay? Now then, why? Because there are going to be great miracles to come. Because chapter 13 shows, verse 3, the beast that comes and the deadly wound that was healed. Verse 3, chapter 13. Its deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. And it was Satan, the devil, the dragon, who gave him his power and throne and great authority. See? So there are going to be great and fantastic things happen that is going to make the world believe that mankind's finally going to solve all of its problems. But it's not. Okay. And they worship the dragon who gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who has the power to make war against him? And then comes the final coup de grace on all mankind. The mark of the beast. But I'll save that for a sermon. Now, let's come and see what's going to happen to Satan the devil. Because when we all come back from the sea of glass on that day of trumpets with Christ to take over the whole world, then what has to happen, Satan has to be removed, because you will never put away sin forever as long as Satan is around. So let's read it here. Chapter 20. After the beast and false prophet were cast into the lake of fire, then chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel descending from heaven, having the key of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he took hold of the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He is bound because the millennium cannot begin. The millennium cannot succeed if Satan is around. Then he cast him into the abyss and locked him up and set the seal over the abyss. over him, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. And after that, it is ordained that he be loosed for a short time. And that's part of the lesson of the coming last great day. So the truth of the matter is this. Human beings cannot tell the difference between the true God and the false God by their own devices. The only way they understand is by the Word of God. The only way we understand is with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and by living it, by changing and growing and overcoming. But Satan will be defeated. The kingdom will come. The kingdom will succeed. And then will come new heavens and new earth. So, have a great Feast of Tabernacles and last great day, brethren.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.